Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Midpoint. So how did this all come about? Well, I walked past a mirror around a year ago and realised that on the outside, the world was definitely seeing me get older. But on the inside, I still felt like the same enthusiastic, energetic 28-year-old I used to be. I'm sure I must be a bit wiser than her, but my teenagers think I'm old-fashioned and out of touch. Honestly, I don't care that I don't understand how TikTok works, and I don't want the latest anything anymore. But I do love it that technology might have the answer to so many of the planet's problems. I would also like my kids to continue writing thank you letters. So middle age, confusing, isn't it? It's anything between 35 and 58, according to the Economic and Social Research Council. There are quite a few of us. But what kind of midlifer are you? It's a question I ask a host of famous over 40 faces in this series, and we've also got some experts coming along to give us some takeaway nuggets of insight, so we might all be even fitter, healthier, and happier midlifers. This episode is brought to you thanks to our very healthy friends at Solgar. Now, Solgar might not spring straight to mind, but with 70 years of experience in vitamins and supplements, they're quite literally the gold standard when it comes to keeping your body topped up with those vital minerals and vitamins. I like to think my diet's pretty healthy, but I know occasionally I do need to top it up and boost it here and there throughout the year. Personally, I love their rigorous attention to detail, from ingredient sourcing and formulation through to manufacture. They've crafted a diverse range of over 300 different evidence-backed formulas, which allows us all to personalise our nutritional support plan and optimise our health and performance. I'm pretty sure you'll recognise them. They've got gold lids and brown glass bottles. Very chic. They're also available online through Solgar, which is solgar.co.uk. My guest today is Claudia Winkleman. Claudia is best known, of course, as one of the co-hosts of Strictly Come Dancing, the number one entertainment show in the UK. But her career started in magazines, perhaps inevitably because her mum, Eve Pollard, was one of the first ever female editors on Fleet Street. She wrote for Tatler, did Claudia, but she has a natural wit and warmth which lent herself to the screen, and her self-deprecating humour has always gone down very well with the British public, whether it's on It Takes Two or Britain's Best Home Cook, and of course her regular appearances on BBC Radio 2. But she's so much more than the clown she often paints herself, graduating from Cambridge and of course soon to be a published author.
Hi Claudia!
Hi babe!
How are you?
You go back to your side of the office.
Yeah.
Off you go. Oh,
good to see you.
Nice to see you,
do you
darling.
Want a drink, Claudia? Kenny can get you a drink. Would you like a drink?
Look what I've got.
What's your address?
close the door, thanks. Thanks, Emma. I'm recording now, so that's amazing. Excellent.
I mean, who knew we'd ever become, I'm not an expert, but to deal with all of this Zoom business.
And also, have you done any TV shows that you've actually had to set up in your own home?
No.
Oh, I had to do
that. They asked me to. I cried laughing. I've still got a VHS machine. I'm older than everyone.
Have you still got a VHS machine?
No.
Oh, because I really want one, because I never managed to edit our wedding videos. We've got 12 hours of videos and I've never edited them. So I need to find a VHS machine from somewhere.
You can find one.
I'll get one from somewhere. How are you? How's everything?
Good. Yeah? Good. Quite sprightly. I've been to the hairdresser.
Hair looks great.
First time in 16 weeks.
Looks good.
I almost mounted him. He's not what he wanted, because it was a socially distanced haircut, but I was just like, I'm home.
Anyway, I set up a show actually for Channel 4. I did a live show with Reverse Vision. I did it.
Stop it.
Earpiece, everything. It was awful. I hated it because there was nobody to make any kind of reaction behind the camera.
No.
To say hello or, you know, just that was funny or that wasn't very good or, you know, just raise an eyebrow. So I didn't like it. It's not the future for me.
Not me. Me neither. I did something for Global Citizen right at the beginning with Dermot and Clara. And, you know, you get all your energy from cameramen, from studio, from... And it was, there were six of us in a room.
No.
Is my daughter going to be that loud? Can you hear her?
No, I can't hear her. What's she doing? Good. Is she playing the oboe?
She's got, as if, she's my offspring. You know I don't believe in extracurricular. No, she's here with a friend. And not with her friend, she uses normal voice. And then the minute there's a friend, they use a different kind of voice. Like, squealing.
A high-pitched thing. But Actually, above me now, I think a bathroom floor, which is very heavy tile, is being hoovered by somebody, which is really helpful. God. But you can't hear that either.
No.
Good.
Well, so we're fine.
How does one introduce a polymath? That's my... How do I introduce you? Writer?
No, I love you. No, I'm an idiot.
But you're not an idiot.
I read out loud.
You're not an idiot at all. But we'll get to that in a moment. So this whole podcast is exclusive for people over the age of 40. You're not allowed to come on if you're under 40, because it's about the middle of our lives and where we go and what we do. And you're only 18 months left in your 40s, which is incredible because you look about 23.
And not only that, I feel, but I was born like this, sort of 72. I think that's when I'm going to suddenly go, now everything makes sense. I mean, I'm quite weird. I have loved, even though my face is falling off, my stomach's a disgrace, my knees are now wholly made of crepe. But
that's,
I don't care about any of
nonsense.
That. I love getting older. I can't wait for 50. I loved 40.
Have your 40s been good?
40s have been excellent. I mean, I also love my 30s, but my 30s, I was basically just pregnant and licking small people, which I loved. I was always on a bed with a tiny person. Remember that noise? Which I absolutely love. My 20s, never again. Angsty, nerve-wracking. Am I doing the right thing? Am I standing in the right place? What am I going to do? When can I have a baby? Is my screaming.
Did that go down well with potential boyfriends?
Well, it was alarming because I did bring it up on the first date. I was like, this is all well and good, but what you understand... Anyway. So, 40s, absolutely excellent. And I think 50s will be even better. And 60s, better than that. I hope I'm alive, but it's only going to get better.
When I turned 30, my mum said, oh, you're so much closer to 60 now, which was a really nice way of greeting me for my 30th birthday. I don't know, because she's not even 70. She's 70 next week. And your mum's early 70s, isn't she?
Yes.
So do you think your excitement about being a septuagenarian is because she's such a prolific and marvellous woman that you can see it's possible to be a marvellous woman in your 70s?
Well, number one, I don't want to be a marvellous woman. That's never been my aim.
Just accidental.
It's not my shiz. If it happens, marvellous, but that's not what I'm after. What I love about getting older is I didn't really like the things you were supposed to do when you were younger. So, and thank God I don't have to do them anymore. I don't have to queue to go into a nightclub. Disgusting. I don't have to go to a drinks party and pretend I'm enjoying myself. What are your plans for this summer? don't make me tell them. They're boring. It means I don't have to wear tight, sexy outfit. I don't have to do all that stuff. What I want to do is stay in, see my best friends and play bridge. I mean, I'm the person who asked for a crochet set for her 21st. So I've just been waiting for the moment that I can outwardly say, do you know what we're going to do this weekend? We're going to do a puzzle. And I might make a curry. And that was difficult when you were 25 because people would go, come on, you must be doing shots somewhere. Kind of shots, what do you mean? So of course there are bits that I don't like, i.e. the physical, but I don't really care about the physical. And I don't like the fact that I need very thick reading glasses. That's annoying. I mean, look, there we go.
But only for reading. That's fine. The physical. Actually, we'll get on to more physical stuff later, because actually physical isn't just the aesthetic. Obviously, the reason I want to be fit and healthy is because I just want to be able to do as much as I can. I don't want to just sit down when I'm older. Do you know what I mean? I want to be a really active granny. I'm really encouraging my children to have young families.
Yeah, me too.
And so
me
that
too.
I'm
like, guys, when you're ready. And my son's like, Mum, I'm only 17. I'm just saying. University is one route, but there are other routes.
But I don't want to not be able to do things. You know, but I don't see that in the older women in my family. They're generally quite active, which is good. And the aesthetic is something else, isn't it? Because actually coming to terms with your
kind of aging process is something that we're discouraged at every corner. You know, everything we read, everything we see is it's you know, prohibited. We're not supposed to want to age.
And well, it's also about battling it. I don't want to battle it. Bring it. Bring it. I mean, when was the last time you saw Chrissy Hynde? I saw Chrissy Hynde in the Radio 2. I hope she's not listening or is all offended. I saw her in the Radio 2 reception and she's still, I don't want to get old gracefully. I don't want a twin set. I don't want to look polite. I never want to look polite. I want to look like I've slept in a skip. That is the whole point of me. But Chrissy Hynde was rocky and cool and eyeliner down her chin with a big fringe and fucked up boots, and they were like, Chrissy, do you mind coming to the third floor? And she was like, sure. And I was like, so you can't get old like that.
Yeah,
you can just crumble and keep it cool. And that I don't, it's the idea of battling it, like try and look young. Why do I want to look young? I looked hideous in bunches. I look worse in my 20s. I've just worked out what I want to look like I've slept in gravy, like I've just had it round the bins with my husband, and that I've worked it out. We're all okay. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is you work with, one of the shows you do, you work with Mary Berry, who is unbelievable. You know, the energy, she's working, she doesn't realise, actually, Mary, I don't think that she's an amazing feminist. That's kind of, you know, an anathema to her. But she has looked like that for about 50 years. So actually, she's kind of done this. And rumour has it, she likes to kind of keep her eye makeup on some nights as well because she prefers it the next day. And she's, you know...
I've never taken my makeup off.
Not since 86.
What you're seeing is just stuff.
I can vouch for that because we shared a bed last year.
We stayed in a bed and you were so... You had a hairband on. Can I tell the group? Me and Gabby, when we have a brilliant mutual friend, who had a birthday, and off we went, and we shared a bedroom, which was adorable because also we're of the same ilk. Like, we want to have fun, and then we suddenly, like, my shutter comes down. The kiosk is closed. It's 11:15. I'm going night night. We went upstairs. I brushed my teeth, put on my pajamas, got into bed, and your face. You then proceeded. I had to watch you because I was alarmed. There was a headband, and there was something called toner. Which I out came cotton wool.
Yeah, but you see, now what you're doing is you're actually revealing that genetically you are just so blessed to have skin that doesn't need all the stuff.
You look 11.
Put on mine.
I look like a 78-year-old angry pirate.
It was the fact you didn't have a 16-step skincare program. It was the fact you didn't take your eye makeup off that it kept me awake for a while.
I felt fast asleep.
I was going to secretly take it off for you, and then in the morning see what happened. But the aging aesthetic thing, you know, your mum's really glamorous and always looks really well put together, and she's and the reason I want to talk about your mum a bit as well is because I wonder if she is the person that helps you to become. I think you're really good at being famous, and I'll tell you why. Because
no, but I'm not famous.
But you are. But the thing is, we don't know. And I was like, I know Claudia, but do I need to know more about Claudia before I speak to her? You don't say much. Like in interviews, you know, I've got a terrible habit of talking too much about my kids because I feel guilty that I'm not with them. So I go, yes, this is what they're doing. And then I reveal all this stuff that they go, Mom, why did you say that? Whereas you're so disciplined. And I wonder if that is having a mother who worked in the male-dominated, cruel environment that Fleet Street must have been when she first got in there. Did she subliminally give you kind of tricks and, you know, kind of teach you how the whole thing works so that you got where you need to be in that article, but you didn't reveal anything at all?
I think she probably did. I think my husband, who when I first met him worked in PR and was clever, and also this is the truth, and I'm not set, this is not faux deprecation or whatever the word is, I'm not pretending to be, I'm not being self-deprecating for the sake of it. I've got nothing to add. I've got nothing. There isn't more. You know how some people go, I'm just giving you 2%. It's not like I have a whole well.
No, that's simply not true. You're a Cambridge graduate, and I've had conversations with you about much kind of bigger, broader issues. You know, you've got opinions. You know stuff. You know,
I do have opinions, but opinions are never a good idea. are they? I mean, they are
not in this current climate. No, you know,
whatever you do, don't have an opinion is my general view. And also, I don't think I've got anything that interesting to say. So I'm happy to talk about napping and my love of eyeliner. But look at all the books
behind you. Okay. You've probably read 95% of those books. And
I've read a lot.
You've read a lot.
I love reading.
You are a reader. And so you must, like, the world at the moment is so confusing and there's so many things.
Totally confusing. But I don't know what the word is. I do realise that I have nothing to add. I really don't, in the nicest possible way. You know, sometimes you arrive somewhere, they're having a barbecue. I mean, I hate barbecues, but you go somewhere, they're having a barbecue, and you know, you've got, here goes my Caesar salad. Here goes the chipolatas. Sometimes there's a space to fill. Right now, there is no space on the barbecue table for what this Orange TV presenter has to say. That's A. B, regarding fame.
Just before we get to B, will there be a time then, you know, when you stop presenting Saturday night shiny floor television, which you don't have to stop, but you know, if you weren't in that space, because it is hard, I think, to have an opinion.
I don't think there would be.
No? What, there's no time when you won't do it, when you won't present Saturday night telly?
No. I mean, God, don't make anyone panic. I'm sure that time rushing up fast. No. Of course, I'll have to give that up probably sooner than later. But I don't think there's a time when I am not looking for. I love this conversation. That's not where I get either my buzz or my, if I can use the word, self-worth.
Yeah.
From people knowing or respecting my view. No, not unless I know them. If I know them and they're my friends,
then you'll
they
tell
know
them.
My views, they know everything I believe, but I don't need to tell Twitter or Instagram or anything. I just don't.
What about the responsibility factor? Do you never feel, I should?
I do feel, but I'll do that in my own. So there are charities I support, so I can donate or I can turn up and look after them. And if they say, would you be a love? Can you shine a light on this? I will absolutely do that. But my view on the world is absolutely, I mean, of all the things the world needs, that comes underneath what did Cliff Richard have for his breakfast. So genuinely, I'm quite interested in that. And I'm not being funny, but I think it'll probably be muesli. Continue.
I think he probably eats a surprising amount of white flour products, actually, you know,
because
he's of a certain age, isn't he? And they just can't get away from it.
He can indeed.
Okay, so there's no chance that in when you're 72, you're going to be writing the, you know, the kind of lead column in whatever the great national newspaper of the day is and espousing all these thoughts and opinions that I know you have.
I mean, I can't imagine it. I loved writing a highly opinionated and completely throwaway column about fashion. And I did that for 3 years.
And you did it brilliantly. And that particular publication misses you.
You're very kind. I don't think they do. But anyway, I have just written a book.
I know.
We could talk about that. Which is the same kind of thing, which is from fringe maintenance to the perfect pair of black boots, why you should never consider a kitten heel, even with a gun to your head. Well, you know, I can do that. I can do a sort of exaggerated, you know, why American tan tights, it's never okay. And, or why I love weddings. Or, you know, I can do that. But the big stuff, I will leave to the better thinkers.
So what does your mum think about that? Because she obviously was somebody who was at the other end of that, really, wasn't she, in terms of...
She thinks that's... I mean, she would. Because, I mean, this is a woman who used to clap when I would do the washing up. So I think we just need to get it in perspective. She had to be actually ejected from my ballet class when I was 5 because the guy said he didn't think I had any natural grace. And my dad had to stop her from physically assaulting him. So that's where... So, but I think she's very proud of the fact that I have my life. Mm. And then sometimes I go to work.
Is that because she, maybe in her heart, she thought she worked too hard when you were little?
She definitely thinks she worked too hard, but she didn't work too hard. I'm incredibly close to her. We talk 4 times a day. And that's what you had to do. And she said, hopefully, you know, she is a staunch feminist. She's just obsessed about work-life balance and women being at home. She hopes that each generation will learn. So when I have to go off for 16 hours, hopefully my daughter will be able to go off for 7 hours, you know, and it will just all go, do you know what? This is madness. I know, by the way, I have a lovely life. I'm not complaining on any level.
I know.
But what I mean is, my mum, I think, thinks it's, I think if work, any work, and I'm not even talking about reading out loud on telly, but if you're like all my friends from university, they don't do anything as moronic as me. They're lawyers, they're art historians, they're doctors, they're fantastic. But work ends and then you're home. It can't all come with you. You can't sit at Sunday lunch going, I'm not being funny, but the person who did AutoCue was... And it's not that it's not interesting, and it's not that kids should only go, you know, do you like broccoli a bit more than asparagus now? It's not only that you're talking down to kids, but work's work, yeah, you know, yada.
And it shouldn't be your life. But you love being a mother. That is, you know, and I know every mother loves being a mother, but to different degrees. You love being a mother, but I don't know if would you really want to be a full-time mum? I'm not sure you'd want
to. No, because I'd be absolutely terrible. By the way, I've just done it for 4 months and I can bring all my children in here and they will tell you individually the homeschooling, you know, the first 5 minutes of my 8-year-old, I'm like, let's find out about the Aztecs. I am so excited about this. I'm going to make an Aztec hat. Let's have a look at cocoa because that's what they use as money. And like literally 20 minutes later, I'll just write it down. Obsidian sword. I'll write it. Anyway, so I don't think I'd have been very good. And I had one of those very strange conversations. I don't know whether you've had one. When my little one was, he was 4 or 5, I mean, he's now 17. And mummy, why are you going to work? And when he was little, I had to work harder than I work now, which is sad for him. And I always feel guilty about it. But I used to say to him, mummy's got to go to work because I've got to buy bananas, because I didn't know how to explain mortgage and everything. And one day he ran up to me, he must have been 5. Mummy, you don't have to go. We have bananas. He was holding bananas. And I sit down and sort of explain.
But you needed apples as well.
and also that I really liked work.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those conversations. Yeah. I had to say, you're the love of my life. I mean,
there are other people that make me tick too.
Yeah, and I don't want to do it a lot, but I, you know, you wouldn't want mummy all the time. So,
but it is always the guilt. I mean, you know, we don't want to go down that road, because actually coming to midlife, we should have less of that, shouldn't we? We should be completely.
I think we should have less guilt, and also I'm quite a fan of guilt. I am.
Well, it keeps you straight.
I think if you feel guilty, you've done something wrong, and I think. Not always, but if I feel like I just haven't been with them enough, well, it means that I have
probably
to drop
haven't.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It means I probably have, or it means that actually me just sitting there and going, yep, is sort of not enough, that I have to go, right, hold on, forget all of this. And I know next Wednesday is, I don't know, X, bridge night. And it's hard to give up bridge night, but I'm just going to be with them. So I'm not debilitating guilt, and not guilt when you shouldn't feel it, but the odd twinge, I think, is telling us.
You talked about your daughter having a work-life balance that, you know, as the generations go on, it should be. And also that's because the women just take on the burden of all domesticity, don't they, really? No matter how lovely your husband is or how helpful he is, you still have to tell him to do things.
Yes.
And even if they're
not only tell them, but also be quite specific, because if I just let him do it, I'm going to go, those balloons. It's also very difficult. You know, when I go, baby, it's his birthday. I'm on it. And I married a Danish human being, and the Scandinavians have a lot. You know, he's never once said to me in 22 years of marriage, what's for supper? He doesn't view it as my job. It's just not my job.
That's pretty
cool.
What
shall we have for supper? Or I was thinking of doing this. Do you fancy that? But not. So he is excellent on all kinds of things. But when I do completely renounce, you know, I give total control. I go, do you want to do this? Then I'm evil. I'm like, we're going camping in Wales. I think I said I wanted a week of. I mean, by the way, I love Wales, but I don't like camping.
Does he? He organises holidays.
Packs for me and unpacks for me because I'm incapable.
That's amazing. And he doesn't pack it, as in he doesn't choose your clothes, so.
He doesn't choose, but I'll put them out and he will. But my mum did teach me this, which I feel bad, but I'm going to share with the group. She said, don't don't be the master of everything. Just don't. Don't be, oh, baby, I'll do that. Oh, no, I'll do up the house. I'll go to the parent teacher. I'll organise what clubs they're doing. I'll be on the kids' WhatsApp. Oh, yeah, and I'll earn a living. I'll order the flat. There are some things, even if you're not, just be shit at. My mum, when, wait, she married my dad when she was very young. I think they were early 20s, which, I mean, is young now, probably not then. It was back then, so they hadn't lived together. Of course, they'd been on dates, they felt mad enough, but they got married quite early and they came back from their honeymoon. They'd gone to honeymoon in Cornwall, 4 days, they came back. And I think it was a Monday morning, they were going off to work. And my dad is as modern as, you, but whatever. And he's the smartest man I know and brilliant. But he said to my mum, he went, Eve, first day back at work, do you want to just iron my shirt then? And she went, imagine my mum, even then at 23, she was like, huh, oh dear, I've made a terrible error. And she went, oh, of course. Because she also said, don't confront unless you really need to. She went off, she got the iron, ironing board, and she got his shirt. And they had a tiny, tiny, tiny flat, sort of studio flat. And she put the iron on the shirt and just left it there. Then carried on getting ready, blah, blah, blah. And Barry came in, my dad, and went, Eve, you're not going to believe what's happened. She went, oh, I'm so bad at it. He went, I'll iron for both of us from now on.
As simple as that. Like, that was it.
I've got a million things to tell my daughter, but what I want to say is about certain things, just take a load off. And you have to let him or...
whoever it is who's in your
partner. Whoever it is, her partner, fill in some of the gaps. And if you're constantly topping them up, if you're brilliant and just... because we like getting things done, right? Women are just doers. We are running at breakneck speed, organising, changing gas providers, organising fairy lights, roasting chickens, defrosting chili. We're laying the table. We're speaking to everybody's parents. We're buying birthday presents. I'm on Amazon. Don't worry. No problem. While cleaning the skirting boards with a toothbrush. You just do it all. And if you do it all, it's almost selfish because there's no space.
Yeah. And so then you must have had, though, disasters where you have allowed that space to be filled.
Me and my girlfriends talk about this a lot, which is you've just got to give them space. There's no point in complaining if you do everything and you do everything well. You've got to, you know, I'm not good at packing and I'm really bad at unpacking. I'm not trying to be shit. I find it completely overwhelming. I'm writing lists the night before, mini cheddars, contact lenses. I turn up for a beach holiday with knee-high boots and a puffer jacket. I'm focused, but it doesn't materialise. Anyway, and she said to him, look, we need new chest of drawers. In the bed, she'd chosen the colour of the walls, beautiful. It's like soft pink, but is it pink? Is it pale brown? Who knows? Fancy. And he went, and she said, but I like this sort of rustic French, you know, like distressed.
Yeah, nice, yeah. Mm.
He went, I'm on it. And she said, but they're really expensive, but I'll just let you research. He bought two. She was so excited. They were only, I think they were £80 each. She was like, oh my God, where Amazing. Have you got them from? And we would have drinks because they were taking a while. I think they were coming from France. We were like, God, he's really stepped up. Like he's stepped up. They were a doll's house. He bought two antique, like really beautiful whitewashed, sort of bleached, rustic for a doll. So you go, oh, well, let's not let them choose furniture. But then, so yeah.
Yeah. So the aesthetic stuff, completely happy with. The getting older.
I'm not completely happy with.
But you're comfortable in your skin and you're comfortable. You've got a look as well, Claudia. So you know your look.
Look.
I would say that you are the personification of the perfect peacoat. That's what I see your look
there
as.
You go.
That is kind of like if I wanted to know where to find the perfect peacoat, and that takes you from the age of 18 to 85, doesn't it?
Yeah, peacoat. Once I decided I wanted to look like a French maths teacher in November.
That all
basically all your, well, I hate summer. I don't believe in summer. It's an absolute disgrace. It's disgusting. The collective joy in the picnics and the water and the toes, I can't bear it. So once I fixated on that, so A, you've got the look. And the other thing is, it's weird how sometimes people say things and you can't get rid of it. I was pregnant with my second child and I felt enormously guilty. Apparently this is normal, but like terribly, like I was being unfaithful. And I sat with my obstetrician and I said, you know, is it right time? He's only going to be three and maybe it's too much and blah, blah, blah. And he was a brilliant Irish gynecologist. And he looked at me and he went, Claudia, and I went, yeah, and he went, the train has left the station. And I swear to God, that's true of aging. It's too late. We're in the tunnel. It's coming. And if you fight it, what do you mean fight? Bring it. Grow your fringe longer.
But what about, I don't mind the face so much, right? Because I think the one thing about having a very large nose is that I've got good scaffolding. So it's going to take a long time for all that skin to drop. Do you know what I mean? I've always thought
No, you look beautiful.
It's going to come into
its
own.
You look beautiful.
But it's, it's the skin in little places that I kind of go, oh, why is that skin doing that there? You mentioned the knees before. And there's parts of the body where that doesn't matter how much you exfoliate or moisturize, that skin's just going to do things that you don't expect. And that I find slightly disconcerting.
It's baggy. I'm baggy. I am naked. I'm not joking because I don't have any mirrors in my house. My mum brought me up in a house without mirrors because she said, your shell is...
You've got a teenage daughter. Does she not have a mirror?
Not really. But she goes out often looking a bit like me. Oh, yeah, mum, I just put some lipstick on or whatever. I'm like, babe, just be a love. Anyway. So we don't have it. We don't have one full length mirror. So I've no idea what I look like. But if I stay at places, when I was with you, I will often look up and go, why is Meatloaf here? I didn't even invite, I don't know Meatloaf. I mean, I've interviewed him once. But why is he in my room moving like I am? So... Yeah.
So fitness is...
Never.
I know you say you did actually tell me that you've been on a bike or a spinning bike or something, or...
I really
a tricycle, a penny farthing. I can't remember. It was some kind of bicycle.
Was it a Bolt? No. I really loved, I discovered what's called a spin.
Yes. Yeah.
I loved...
Soul cycle, spin, that kind of thing.
I don't like sweating. I don't like movements. I went to a Pilates area. It was like the scene of Cocoon. I can't even tell you. Move your hip and down. I was like, do you know what? I once went to yoga. It all smelled of smug and hummus. I can't bear it. So I don't, the problem is I think you have to move a lot to see a real difference. And I'm just too impatient a person. I want to go twice and feel like Elle Macpherson. And if the minute they go, you'll see a difference in 3 months, I'm out. And I love lying down. It's my favorite thing in the whole world. I'm going to be the opposite grandma from you. I'm just going to come and sit on grandma's lap. I'm going to give you a crumpet and we're going to watch all the Pixar films in release date order. But spin I like because it's very loud music and yeah. I was being shouted at and that was somehow erotic.
Are you back doing it?
No, because they're all closed now. And then I did it so much that I developed something called costochondritis. This is what happens with age.
I've never heard of that before.
It's the muscles are completely inflamed in your chest. If any of your listeners know what I can do about it.
Does that mean your boobs look kind of higher and bigger then? Is that sorry about that noise. That's somebody coming in and out of the house and I don't know how to turn it off. I'm sorry.
It's like the Incredibles. That's how I feel about you and Kenny and your baby.
Do you still have like a muscular chest?
It's a muscular thing under my boobs.
That's put you off cycling. Oh, damn that soul cycle. We so nearly had you.
Because you lean down so much, you're like, push, and they're screaming at you, further. And I'm like, and then they go, believe in yourself. I'm like, oh, yes, I do. And anyway.
So what are you going to do then? Because you've got to keep moving as you get older. What are you going to go for?
Why?
Because otherwise you'll just be, you know, the muscles that developed here, all the other muscles in your body, if you stop moving, will just become completely useless and sag, and then you just won't be able to do anything. You won't be able to.
Like in the movie Up.
Yes.
That's where I'm headed. Can I go? How do you feel about walking?
Brisk walking's great. You should do some brisk walking.
Fine, brisk.
We had Greg White on John Bishop's episode of this, and you won't like what he said about exercise because he basically said in middle age, we should be training harder than we've ever trained before. That's why I didn't get him on this episode because I knew it would upset you.
I would have hit him in the face.
He was virtual, but I'm sure he would have felt that wrath.
He would have, yeah.
And so he said, I said, if there's one thing that we have to do, because I thought he'd say weights, because I'm always reading that weights are the thing because of our osteoporosis and things like that. And he said, well, look, he said, you've just got to do whatever you really like, but just do it harder than you've ever done before. Sorry.
Well, I've never done anything. Can I start now? I think it's too late. I'm 48. It's almost over. It's like time for curtains. Night, night.
I'm walking. Let's go back to walking. Let's walk harder. Should we just say let's walk harder?
What do you do? Can I ask you?
I did lots of different... You know, I like exercise. So I hit... Yesterday I was doing farm fitness. It was amazing. Running around
with...
You're
doing farm fitness with sheep and cows?
Yes. Yeah, so you run around with logs and you drag tyres in a field and it's just amazing. You do it for like each thing for a minute and a half and then she has a big klaxon and then she says, move on! And it was dirty and you get back in the car and, you know, you could just feel quite... exhilarated by it all. Nobody else in the house comes with me. I do it on my own. Kenny's pretty much ground to a halt with exercise. But I just like moving. I like, you know, I like that feeling and that kind of energy that it gives you. And I do like sitting down. Lockdown's given me a lot more appreciation of just sitting down and doing a puzzle and reading a book. And that's staying with me. That's definitely staying. Yes. But I don't want to not, you know, I want to be able to play tennis with my grandchildren, whether they like it or not, you know.
Yeah, no, that's adorable. You are definitely much healthier and wiser than me.
I'm not wiser. I'm just...
Of course you are.
I'm scared of stopping.
And then when we had this conversation and I've just turned into a sort of globule and I can no longer get downstairs, you'll go, Claude, I told you to move.
Well, I've got a treat for you because each episode, this is like the Cilla Black moment. Each episode, surprise, surprise, I bring an expert in and they're kind of carefully matched, I'd like to think. And I know you've mentioned, I think, somewhere that you like magnesium.
I do.
Yes.
Because I started waking up too early.
Yes. Well, I started taking it about a year ago. It's great, isn't it? It's amazing. And I know from, you know, conversations with you, sleep is a thing that you enjoy and would like more of. We'd all like a bit more. So I have a sleep coach. We're going to get on the line. His name is Nick Little-Hales and he is, he's with British Cycling. He's taught Premier League footballers how to have better sleep. He's a sleep expert.
Little-Hales. I wonder if he's absolutely tiny.
So let's do a formal introduction. Nick Little-Hales is joining the conversation.
I can't believe that you're a sleep expert. I've never met one before. I'm so excited about you, Nick Little-Hales.
Well, they look like this, Gloria.
So how much did you sleep last night, Nick?
We had a bit of a late night, but I had about four cycles, blocks of 90-minute cycles. So that would equal 6 hours. But then I also use little tiny micro sleeps, you know, during the day.
So Nick, can I let you in a secret? I didn't feel great this morning and I knew that you were going to be our expert. So I thought I'm going to go and try and have a nap at 2 o'clock. And I just lay on my bed, fully clothed. I didn't even close the curtains. I put my hands on my chest and 20 minutes later, I woke up. I was so proud of myself. I had a little 20-minute nap. Is that a good amount of time to nap? And what does that do for me physically?
It's totally natural. We're kind of like, we're constantly fighting this because of lack of education. You take that 20 minutes, Gary, yeah, and you sort of do that on a regular basis. You can do it sat in your chair. You can do it, you know, you can do it anywhere.
Claudia, where's the most unusual place you've napped?
I'll nap in the back of a car happily. Mm. I'll nap on a train. I've almost napped at work. I go in and rehearse with Strictly and then I go upstairs and have a nap. Now, and interesting, Nick, because my mum, 100 years ago, when I was little, happened to sit next to a brain surgeon. I don't know how or why, but she was a journalist, so she was just at one of those. And he said, his parting shot to her was, oh, do you have kids? She went, yeah. And he said, always let them sleep, encourage them to nap, because that's when the body mends itself. So I had the only mother in the world who didn't say, come on, you're wasting the day, or up you get, sleepyheads. And I've always napped. And if I look at my day and I can't find a moment to nap, and I nap differently from my sleep, so I also don't lower the curtains, I don't get under the big duvet. It's a nap and I treat it as a nap. My only problem is when I wake from a nap, I'm so starving I could eat a live horse. But I think that's normal. But sometimes I have two naps a day.
No.
Yeah, well, little ones.
You wouldn't turn around to people and go, I'm napping all day long. you know, and I'm doing these little things because it's kind of like a negative thing.
I'm very proud of my naps. I don't understand when we all decided that busy was good. I think busy is not good.
Eat, sleep, repeat.
Yeah. And also, I think if you allow yourself the nap, you don't feel as guilty or twisted. If you're as old as me and you're female, you suddenly start waking up early. When I was younger, before kids, I would sleep till midday, wake up, have pizza, sex with my boyfriend, maybe back comb my hair, go back to bed, no problemo. Possibly I've shared too much, Nick, but stay with me. But then suddenly you have kids and I wake up at 6, and instead of panicking about it, I go, that's all right, I'll get up, or I'll just lie here and relax, by the way, but I'll be with them at 7, but then I'll come straight home and get back to sleep. So I'll grab it whenever I can grab it, rather than that hideous pressure, you have to have 8 hours, otherwise you can't survive.
Mm. Nick, can I ask you, because this podcast is called Midpoint, right? So about physical things that are changing in our lives. And the thing I've noticed is that I definitely wake up more.
What you're doing is you're just morphing into a very natural process.
Right.
And as Claudia mentioned, you know, one of those things that you morph into is when you suddenly realize you're about to have kids in 9 months. And so you're in this monophasic, get your 8 hours at night block mentality. Just wake up in the morning and then there's only so many hours left to do it again, which doesn't apply to nurses or frontline workers or surgeons or pilots or breakfast presenters or whatever, is that suddenly you find yourself with this multiphasic thing called a child that's changing your habits, and you adapt to that process the best you can. All that's happening is if you knew about a way to approach this in your early years, it would be happening now. So all you're doing is realizing that something's going on now that you don't quite understand. It's this multifaceted.
Go with it. I've just got to go with it, Nick. I've just got to go with it.
Just go with it. Just go with it.
Well, I think you've given us all permission to nap more. That's my takeaway, Claudia.
That's excellent. I'm happy. I'm so happy.
He didn't really want to address my... Clearly, I was the undercurrent was menopausal sleep thing that was, or perimenopausal. And we haven't even said that word, by the way, menopause today in this podcast.
I thought I was going through it, and I went and was checked, and they said not yet.
No, what made you think that? What was happening?
Because I was waking up early.
Oh, so I might not be then. That's the only thing that I'm doing that's different. Is
exactly.
I'm waking up.
That was the only thing. So I'm not getting hot. I read all the symptoms, and I absolutely know it's coming, and I want to be as prepared as possible, and. But I was just waking up early.
Yeah. But anyway, at least we both know that naps are good. And I always feel with a nap, the reason I don't feel guilty about a nap is I feel like you're repairing stuff. You know what I
you
mean?
You are. It's the best life insurance you have. I mean, just always. And, you know, when something is too sort of like hard work, even if it's just cooking dinner for you and the kids, or they're going to come back with hard homework, or you know you've got to get a bit of work done, if you've had half an hour sleep, all of that is doable. I think for me, anyway, I just feel slightly, I don't want to use the word overwhelmed because that's an exaggeration, but
just
slightly,
a little bit. It's all a bit much today. Yeah.
Just a bit like floopy.
Yeah. Life's
or not
nice.
Like, how am I going to do it all?
Yeah.
If I lie down, close my eyes, so I wake up, then I'm like, kapow.
But I do think the key is don't take your clothes off. Don't, you know, try, if even I'm in my office, try and even do it in your office, because
I could do it right here now.
It would, the end of the podcast wouldn't be great, but
no, and I love chatting to you. When you said that you're happy with me, I'm going to go and snuggle up
because they think you're working, so they can't find you. They always seem to find me as well when I have a little nap. I hear, Mom, where I'm going to be. Just come and find me and then have some.
That's why I have to hide in the room with books
in the library, because they don't come. They don't come in there. So when I spoke to, when I spoke to John, actually, he'd had a really big thing happen to him that was a kind of awakening, a moment where he looked at the rest of his life, and it was a health thing, a big health scare that he had.
Yeah.
And not everybody has those kinds of moments, but there are some things happens where you go, oh gosh, I'm 47. That means that actually, although we've got a lot of centurions in our family, I'm probably about midway through my life right now. And, or, you know, there or thereabouts, you know. Has anything happened to you where you've just gone, gosh, I've reached the point where there could be less time than more time, or
lots of members of my family have died young. So every year's a bonus. I'm definitely more than halfway. There is absolutely no doubt. So that's the other thing that can be quite relaxing about getting older is, I know it sounds selfish and hideous, but I'm not going to do the stuff that I don't want to do. Hmm. I don't want to try a brand new restaurant with two people that we might have met on holiday 2 years ago and seem quite bouncy. They believe in star signs, but they love, they love whatever food it is. I'm sure they're adorable, but you know, when you were 26, oh, it's only an hour outside. It's just on the outskirts of Balham and it's an hour long queue and it's 20 quid a head. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll come. And there's something fantastic about 48, which is I see the people I love and I watch the movies that I know I'm excited about and I stay in and lick my kids. That's it. I'm not wasting time here.
No, there's no...
Almost over.
Yeah, but it's not almost over.
But other people would view not wasting time as in not trying and not going and not seeing.
So there's clearly no... I mean, I don't like this expression, but I can't think of a... Not a bucket list, but you know, a kind of...
No, I don't have a bucket list.
So there's no kind of sense of, oh, I'm... Because I always feel like there's so many projects I want to do and things I want to, you know, get completed. Like, it doesn't stop... I sometimes worry when I do have a mirror and I go, oh God, I'm not 28. Can I do these things? Am I brave enough to try these things? Do you have no fear about trying new projects and jumping?
No, I definitely have fear. I definitely have fear. So that's why I don't want to do new projects.
But you must want to do other things because you've got so
I've
many.
I've already far exceeded what I should have done. I mean, that's just the truth. We could all agree with that. I don't know what happened. I was in the right place at the right time. Something happened. Fine. So, or maybe that's not where I am now. What I would say about my life is there have definitely been phases, which is, you know, mum to a young baby. That means you want to be absolutely home and you want to feed every 3 hours. So you do little things where you can just skip out like a bird. And I've still got an 8-year-old. But the big ones are now I probably could go off and do something more adventurous, but I'm a real homebody. I just want to be at home with them, with my girls round my table with a roast chicken. This is why we started off saying, why don't I tell you anything? Or why don't I say anything in interviews? It's because I've got nothing to say. I don't have a burning, there isn't something that I'm desperate to do. There are lots of little businesses I always wanted to start, but that wouldn't work. Every time I've discussed it with somebody, I'm like, but what about, can I give up telling? Can I make personalized biscuits in the shape of giraffes? And they've gone, why? Okay. Good point. But right now, and I don't know whether it's because of lockdown, but I don't feel terribly ambitious. I don't feel like far reaching. I mean, I think even this time a year ago, I'd have said I was desperate to go and see the blossom in Japan with my kids because a friend had done it. And the photographs, I will never get over the photographs. Yeah. Like it's in a sea.
We did it 2 years ago with the kids. Oh! And it is truly amazing. So you should do that though. You should go to Japan.
That we should do. But you right should. Now, if you said to me you can't go for 5 years just because of circumstances and blah, 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 I would also be fine with that. I am...
So you're content. I think I find you in a very content state, which is a wonderful place to be. And I would therefore suggest that the final question I'm going to ask you is, are you hopeful? Are you hopeful for the world? Are you hopeful for your family? But if you're content, I guess that's almost...
Well, I would say that I think I'm content also because of my age, which is what I went back to before. If we were having this conversation 20 years ago, I'd have been
more
like,
angsty.
Well, I don't know what to do next. I'd have been slightly jangly inside because I wouldn't have, I'd have worried about what's coming up and what am I going to do and blah, blah, blah. And I feel now I have less choices and that is so satisfying. I'm not interested in choice. I'm not interested. I knew from my kids when I'd go, would you like mummy to make you fish fingers? Or do you like pasta bolognese? Or would you like, and they would look at me and want to burst into tears. And I would like, it's much easier for them if I just went, there's
here, there's dinner.
And I want, there's dinner.
I've always been from the school of the reason you end up often with fussy eaters is because there's too much choice. So you just, this is what we're having for dinner.
Just give it to them. This is what we're having. And I like the same. So I feel like those choices of, do I want to do this or that, are slightly not there.
I think what's lovely is that there are so many different ways to approach the second stage of your life. And actually, you can approach it by going, do you know what? What I've got is actually enough, and I'm just going to really enjoy it, and it's fine. I don't have to stay at home.
I don't want to. I never want to travel fancy class. I don't need a new coat. I have enough. I mean, I say that. I mean, in November, I've seen a fabulous number. You know, I want my family to be healthy, and I want them to be happy, and I want them to be humble, and I want them to be settled, and I want them to be interested.
Claudia, it's always a joy to talk to you. You're so positive, and I know that's not your kind of shtick, in the sense that you're not kind of like, you don't set yourself out like some kind of life guru, positive speaker, but you just radiate positivity because of what we just said, which is contentment. So thank you so much for your time. And
thank you so much for talking to me. This is a brilliant podcast. I'm going to listen to them all. I'm going to read your book.
I'm going to read your book. When your book's out in the autumn, isn't it? Your new book.
It's horrific. Don't read it because you'll never speak to me again.
I'm going to.
Don't even make eye contact with it.
Have a wonderful rest of your summer, wherever you end up. And thank you. And go and nap. Go have a nap now.
I'm going to have a nap. Right now, and you.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye, darling. Thank you.
Thank you so much to the wonderful Claudia Winkleman for joining us today. She's a real inspiration, choosing to embrace aging as ungracefully as possible. And her naps, legendary. I'm definitely going to prioritise some disco naps, I think. And with powerful and restorative sleep in mind, magnesium citrate is what I'm looking for on Solgar's website this week. Magnesium citrate and also their 5-HTP capsules, which reduce anxiety and improve mood and increase quality of sleep without increasing total sleep time. Sounds good to me. So thank you to Solgar, to Emily Arthur, Hollybot and Blaise McGowan at YMU, to producer Emma Corsham at Rethink Audio, and to you for listening. I'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.